Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Hernan Sias joining us today. Hernan has built multiple businesses, including his current venture with Pipeline Insurance and his full-service podcasting and marketing company, FanSpark, over the past 17 years. As the host of the Business Bros podcast, Hernan highlights entrepreneurs and their journey through business and life. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yes, likewise. I'd love if you could start off by sharing more about you and what you do and how you got there.
Sure, absolutely. So anytime you look at somebody who's already achieved something, you always got to go back to the beginning, right? And for me, I grew up not having very much of anything. My parents moved from LA to San Diego. And after moving to San Diego for like, a couple months, my dad lost his job and we went homeless. So I had to live with like an aunt and an uncle for a few months while my parents got back on their feet. And we've been kind of, you know, patching our way back ever since. And I remember we were about 16, 17 years old. And my dad was one of those people. He's like, you know, I might not know everything, but I can give you guys an opportunity to excel. And so he hired a financial advisor to come over to the house. And for my dad to dish out, you know, $100 an hour for somebody to come talk to us for 2 hours, it was a lot for us back then. But it was some of the greatest advice I had ever received. This person sat down and she was like, let's pull your bank statements. Let's talk about what your budget looks like. Let's talk about where you're spending your money and let's talk about where you want to go in the future. And no one had ever really sat down and asked us those types of questions before. She put us in a position where by 20 years old, I ended up, my brother and I bought our first home. And we, you know, soon after that started our very first business, PC Cruisers. And it changed forever the way I ever looked at earning income. I didn't have to be dependent on a W-2 anymore. I knew there were other ways to generate revenue, to pay my bills, to go moving forward. And, we've been at it ever since. It's been a phenomenal ride.
Good for you. And one thing that stands out to me is that throughout your story is that, of course, you're a serial entrepreneur. So what kind of sparked you into this interest and passion for wanting to start multiple businesses?
Honestly, when you're young, you kind of fall into some stuff, right? So the very first business I told you about was PC Cruisers. The reason why we started it is because we had bought a house at 20 years old. We had a mortgage. And my brother, who was installing high-speed internet and fixing computers at the time, that tells you how long ago that was, by the way, installing high-speed internet. he was young, right? He was having some fun. He saw this muddy road area and was driving his truck, and he rolled his truck, work truck. So they fired him. And so we had to have a way to generate revenue. It is out of necessity that we created these flyers and we're like, hey, we'll install your high-speed internet. We'll fix your computer. And we went door to door every morning handing out these flyers. And the goal was, you know, to get them one job a day. And then one job became two and then three and then four. And then we hired people. And, you know, that's how it happened, right? We just developed over time. Eventually that the reason why we shut down that business is because he was the main tech. He was pretty much running the show on that thing, and his girlfriend broke his heart and he decided to join the Navy and he left. And so I ended up shutting that thing down. And in the process of closing, I learned what I didn't know. I didn't understand business up until that point. I knew we were making money. That was the easy part, right? But I didn't know anything about accounting. We had employees. I had never filed a tax return. I had never filed, quarterlies for employee taxes. I had long-term leases that I thought our corporation signed for, but it turned out I personally signed for. We had long-term marketing contracts. I mean, long story short, I went broke shutting down the business. We ended up buying another property in Las Vegas as a rental. I ended up selling the property in Las Vegas. I ended up selling our property in San Diego, barely enough to close everything out. And it wasn't even, I can't even say it was enough because I ended up filing personal bankruptcy at the time. And so this is in 2006, I filed for personal bankruptcy. I'm completely broke. I have no business. I had dropped out of college because I thought I'm making all kinds of money. What do I need school for? And, you know, and all that happens. And then 6 months later, I'm supposed to be getting married. So I had gone in this whirlwind, this awesome roller coaster where life was phenomenal and I was young and I was making all kinds of money, to crashing and hitting rock bottom, where most people would use that as a detriment to their life. For me, this was a moment where I was like, oh, it's kind of like playing Monopoly, right? The first time you play Monopoly, you don't know the rules to the game, so you pretty much suck at it. But after you play the game one time and you understand the rules, the next time you have a chance of winning, and now the game becomes fun. And that's exactly how I took it. I was like, okay, well, this time I failed. This time I sucked at the game, but now I know the rules, and now I have a chance of winning. First thing I did after the complete failure was I enrolled in tax school. I wanted to know who's Uncle Sam and why was he taking all my money. And I went back to school and I got my degree in accounting because I wanted to know how this money thing works. And after that, it's just been, well, what's next, right? So what's next is, I started putting money away again. I built a small little tax practice. I was able to put some money away, got a tax return refund. We started flipping some properties. That built a little more capital, and then we hit the 2008 recession. So it became a little bit more difficult for me to buy property, and I didn't understand the game of real estate. So I backed out for a little while and I bought a game truck because I liked playing video games. What young kid doesn't like playing video games? So I spent a few years doing kid birthday parties and driving around and playing video games with kids and hosting parties. And it was a great time. And then, I grew up a little more and I'm like, okay, on to the next thing. And that's kind of how my business ventures had been going. It's knowing the school, the accounting part, knowing the tax part. I ended up meeting a business partner who owned a school, and I taught tax school for him for a while. He came up to me. He's like, hey, man, I'm starting this insurance agency. I got a really good insurance agent that we're going to build it around. I have a pool of people that we can fish for insurance agents. There's nobody to do the books. You want to partner up and you can do the books? So I was like, let's do it. And that was the birth of our insurance agency. So as one door closes, another door opens. If you are continuously educating yourself and putting yourself out there, learning a particular new skill, you're going to notice opportunities, and opportunities will be presented to you because you have the knowledge and the experience to realize that somebody else's problem is an opportunity for you.
Yes, I love all of that. And I especially love that one thing that really sticks out to me regarding your story is that no matter what came your way, with having to file a bankruptcy, to closing businesses, to partnering with new business partners and all this stuff, you just always kept looking forward and finding a way to keep innovating and growing and being able to bring in more income and revenue for something that fit your needs in your life.
Like, I'm a movie fan. So one of the lines that I love is from the movie Castaway. Now, Castaway wasn't a very exciting movie, right? I mean, there's a lot of downtime. I mean, the guy ends up talking to a volleyball, right?
Yeah.
But in that movie, he describes how, they ask him, like, how did you survive 7 years on this island by yourself? And he talks about, I thought about killing myself. I thought about ending it all. I thought about quitting. But he realized, tomorrow the sun will rise, and it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. The fact that you wake up every day means you have an opportunity to change the situation you're in. You can shoot for the highest moon, the highest mountain, and shoot for the biggest star out there. And chances are, if you don't hit it, you're still going to end up average. And average is not necessarily a bad thing, but you can always excel and get better than that if you want to, because tomorrow the sun will rise and you're going to wake up and you're going to have that opportunity. Will you take advantage of it? That's the real question.
You're absolutely right. And kind of keeping all of that in mind, what would you say was the most difficult part of starting your business or businesses while young?
Other people's opinions. When I was young, when I was first starting out in the tax business, the computer business was awesome because it had a stigma of only young kids know technology. So the fact that we were young and doing technology, those paired up perfectly. Once that failed and I went into the tax business, the fact that I was young and I'm advising people on their taxes or their long-term investments, those did not pair very easily, right? The babyface kid has zero life experience and he's trying to tell me life experience stuff. So other people's opinions started to factor in. Was I good enough? Well, that guy doesn't trust me. This person doesn't trust me. Do I really know what I know? And if I would have, early on been able to tell myself, no, you know your stuff. you should have the confidence and you know, put away that imposter syndrome and go show people what you're good at. I think that would have allowed me to excel a little bit faster. But I care about what other people think. And here's the irony about it. Now I teach high school seniors. I have a course called Financial Algebra, and I teach them, you know, how to balance their checkbooks, how to buy a home, how to buy a car, how to buy a house, that sort of stuff. And in that course, I have the kids journal every single day, and I have them write down their ideas and whatever. I don't care what the notion is. I don't care how weird it is. I have them write it down, because once you write that idea down, it's like planting a seed. Then you can start to nurture it and decide if that's where you want to go. But what most of us do is we have this idea and we go and we tell the person we care about the most. It could be your spouse. It could be your parents. It could be your siblings, whoever it is. You go and back and you tell them and you're excited about this vision that you have. And the first thing they do is they shut you down. They tell you that's not going to work. You're not good enough to do that. You don't have the skill base. Who do you know? You don't have enough money. And they're not telling you that from a place of angst or like a negative thing. They're telling you that because they love you and they know you and they're afraid to see you get hurt. But it actually has that negative effect where it shuts you down. So if you were, and if you're paying attention to those other people telling you what you're capable of, you're never going to be what you want to be, and you're never going to excel in that area. So other people's opinion, you have to cut it out. You have to be able to filter that through the lens of, is this constructive and is this helping me to excel, or is this trying to stop me from going to that next level? Ultimately, it's your life. Even if it's your, you know, most loving individual, if you do not go towards what you want to go to, you're going to be unhappy and you're going to resent those people for stopping you, even though it's your choice at the beginning and even though it's your choice going forward.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And what you said is something that totally resonates with me too, because I had started my marketing firm at 19. And so I faced the same exact struggles where people were trying to bring me on as their intern rather than viewing me as a business owner and a marketing consultant, or they were trying to pay me minimum wage for a project that was worth way more than minimum wage, and always questioning if I actually knew what I was doing because I'm just a college student, and similar things like that. And so it can be really hard as you're starting and growing a business while young to really kind of get past that negativity and not letting people, other people's thoughts get reflected into your own, and kind of basically not find a way to adapt their negative mindset and stuff like that. And so it's hard, you're right. And so just getting past that imposter syndrome and moving forward is what really what you need to do, even though it will take you a little bit to get there.
Well, here's a little secret that most people probably won't tell you. The imposter syndrome never goes away. It's always going to be there. You're never going to think you're enough. You're never going to feel like you know everything you need to know. But that's the beauty of it, right? This is the, don't take it on as a wall. This is a challenge. This is something for you to overcome. And it's actually a good thing. If you're in a room with people who are smarter than you, where they know or have skills that you don't have, this is where you get to grow and excel. This is why a true business is not something that you operate by yourself. That's what I was doing at the beginning, right? So when in my game truck company, it was me. I drove the truck. I booked the appointments. I called the clients. I booked the, you know, I did everything. And that's not really a true business, because if I went on vacation, my paycheck went on vacation. Right? So if you're building a true business, you're going to want to partner with people who have skills that you don't have. The insurance company is a perfect example of a true business. My role was on the accounting side, but I didn't have to worry about who wrote the policy or where the clients came from, or I just had one specific role. I made sure money came in, and I made sure where it was supposed to go, and I made sure money went out, and that was my role. And I replaced myself with people in our staff to be able to do that. Now I oversee things rather than do the work myself. And so but there's still, I'll be in a room and there's people who are very smart, who are very knowledgeable, who have a grasp of things in business that I haven't even considered yet. And I always will feel that imposter syndrome that I'm not good enough. But look at it as a challenge. This is where you get to learn. This is how you get to get better. And as long as you, you know, perspective is everything. As long as you see it from that perspective, from the perspective of, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to learn. I don't know, but I'm going to improve. I don't know, and this is my opportunity. That's what you want to do.
Yes, Two things relating to that. So one, exactly what you said, is that the reason why I had started Student to CEO is because when I was first starting out with my company, I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And now I say, I still don't know what I'm doing. So it's like, it's all just a learning process and stuff like that. And you have to get comfortable with always finding ways to keep moving forward and keep learning and educating yourself to get better in what you do. And secondly, with that too, as you said, you don't want to be the only person in your business. And so that's one of the things that I have really focused on, is always making sure that I'm never the smartest person in the room. And so that's how I was also able to grow my company, because I hired team members who knew how to do things that I don't, who would be able to provide value and support to our clients and help us bring in more clients, more revenue, more support, all of that stuff. So I think you totally hit the nail on the head with that.
It's amazing how that works, right? And it's the ability also for you as a leader to be vulnerable and to ask some questions, to share your doubts and insecurities, because that's where you're going to bring team members on that fill those voids. But at the same time, you're being honest with yourself. I've learned oftentimes we tend to hide those things. We might feel like a little bit of shame or something that we don't know these particular things. But the thing about shame that's amazing is we all have it, and we all tend to have it around similar things, right? So if you're able to share that vulnerability with people, you're going to easily connect with other people who have gone through the same thing, whether they've passed it up already and they've learned how to get past it, they'll be able to teach you how to do that. Or you're going to connect with people who are going through the same exact struggle you are right now and are willing to work on themselves to get better. And those are also people that you want to connect with. It's funny because you have successful people. You ever notice that successful people always have the hookup with other successful people?
It's true.
It's one of those weird things, right? Like, of course that guy is well connected. Look at how successful he is. Well, they didn't start off that way. They were both at the bottom at some point, and chances are they've connected early on and they've helped each other rise. And so because they've helped each other get to the top, now they have the connection with each other. They've built that relationship. They've nurtured that relationship. And if any of them ever need anything, that's their mastermind team that they go to, because they've been through all the struggles at the beginning. So, you know, being able to be vulnerable at the beginning and say, I need help, is one of the hardest human things to do. But it's also one of the most beneficial things you can do in your business early on.
You're absolutely right. So Hernan, knowing that the most difficult part of starting your businesses was just other people's opinions, on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding?
The most rewarding, and this is kind of, selfish, I guess, was to... It's the notoriety that you get from your own friends and family. The same people who told you couldn't do it are now coming to you for help in the business that you have. That to me is one of the most rewarding things. I love I told you so's. Those are my favorite things to do, but it's one of those things where I told you I was going to do it. I set on a path to do it. I've achieved it. And now you're recognizing that, yes, I could have done it. And I'll give you a fun story, not so much a business story. When I was a kid, I started playing baseball around 11 years old. And I wasn't very good at the beginning because I had never played before. By year two, I was like, okay, this is something I love to do. And I realized the only person who looks different on this whole field is the catcher. That catcher looks awesome wearing that gear. I want to be a catcher. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I want to catch. She's like, no, catchers are for big kids. You can't catch. That's not your role. And I was like, really? Okay. All right, Mom, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. I was dedicating myself to being a catcher. And by, you know, what ended up happening is I became one of the best catchers in my league. I became one of the best catchers in my high school. And it propelled me to the top of that game, right? Because I was able to say, this is what I want to do. And my mom came back, and I remember her literally telling me, you're right. Like, you should have been a catcher, right? And that I told you so is not really the I told you so where I stick it to them. It's like I've proven myself. That's my favorite part of business, is I'm going to do this and nobody believes me. And then when it gets done, everybody's like, that's amazing. How did you do that? That's the best part of business.
Love it. And going along with that, what do you think led you to your success?
You know, I think part of it is genetically, it's innate in me that I'm that kind of a competitive person. I noticed that there's a lot of people who they need a different kind of fuel, and they can achieve success in their own way. But for me, it's it's the challenge. I love when somebody says you can't do it, and then I show you that I can do it. My only superpower skill that I feel like I have is when I commit to something, I do it. I have a podcast just like you. And when we started, it was almost 2 years ago. July will be 2 years ago. And I dragged my brother into doing the podcast. I was like, hey, man, we're going to do a podcast. And he looked at me like, oh, okay, that's a little weird. And I said, by the way, we're going to do it every single day, Monday through Friday. And he's like, and he kind of took a step back. And then I said, and we're going to do it for 3 years. And he really took a step back, right? And for me, that's the kind of dedication that when I decide I'm going to do something, I'm going to go for it. And all I did was I was like, okay, well, everybody that I look up to in business is saying, if you're in business, you need to have a podcast. You need to have a podcast. So I committed to doing it. And then I looked at who has the best podcast out there. And I was like, oh, it's Joe Rogan. Well, he has 1,000 episodes. So if I can get to 1,000 episodes, then I too will be a good podcaster at some point. And, you know, if you listen to our podcast episode one, it sucks. I have no emotion in my voice, right? I barely know what the heck I'm talking about. There was times where we recorded and I forgot to like hit the actual record button. You know, all those mistakes, all that stuff happens. But now we're 475 episodes in. I've fine-tuned my message. I was able to network with so many great people that I never would have met outside of podcasting. You know, this has become one of the best prospecting tools I've ever come across. And now I really do understand why my mentors were saying, if you have a business, you need to have a podcast. It's not necessarily to sell something, because I don't always sell something direct from my podcast. But I've met so many great business owners. I've met so many cool individuals. I've learned things from their experiences, kind of like the Matrix, right? Plug something into my brain. Now I'm learning from all these people. And at the same time, now the podcast has developed its own little business. And that's where FanSpark comes in. Right now, people are coming up to me just like I told you that I told you so, right? When I told people I was going to do a podcast, they looked at me like, yeah, okay, who do you think you are, right? Or nobody's going to want to listen to you. Fine, that's okay. And I kept doing it. And now people come up to me like, hey, what microphone should I buy? Hey, I'm thinking of doing a show. How do I add video like you guys do? Hey, how do I create a banner? What's an RSS feed? All these different questions that come about because I was doing it, right? Because I went through the experience, because I fell off the horse, I just got back on and kept going. And that's how you do it in business. That's the progression, right? Understanding that at first you're going to suck. But that's okay. Progress is what is the key, right? Learning comes from failure. In school, we're taught failing is bad, and that's not true. Failing is the actual learning process. You can't learn anything without failure.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I love that you started FanSpark because of the fact that people were asking you so many questions about starting a podcast. And that's actually one of the reasons why I started Student to CEO, is because people saw me with my business and growing it and taking it full time upon graduating college, that people were constantly messaging me on LinkedIn, sending me text messages, shooting me over emails, things like that, and being like, how did you do this? And so I'm like, something like this is needed. Clearly, I got to make something out of it. And it sounds like the same exact thing happened with you in FanSpark.
Absolutely. And you know, when I coach people into doing a podcast, it's one of those things where I tell them, look, your goal is not to be Joe Rogan. It's not necessarily to be the show that has millions of followers. You can aspire to that. And trust me, it's possible that you can do that. But when you start a podcast for your business, you're doing it for your existing database. You want your existing database to see you on a regular basis, to put to associate what you do with your brand, with your name, so that they, you know, it's like an any other advertisement. If I went, you know, we are farmers, you probably could complete that, right? Ashley, you can complete that? Right? We all know. The only reason why you know is because you've seen it over and over and over and over again. So if you have a business and you're not putting your product or service in front of your database on a regular basis, they are human. We forget stuff all the time. We're not going to remember what we need and who we're going to go with. We're just going to do what we were trained to do, which is, I need something cool. Let me Google it real quick. And once you have the answer, you're done. However, if you have a show, if you're taking that long form piece of content, you're chopping it up, you're putting it on social media, people see your face, they see your brand logo, they know what it is you do. When they hear a problem related to your product or service, you're the first one they're going to think of. You're going to be there, That's what you're going to be to them because you're constantly putting that information out there. So your show should be designed in a way that you're promoting things to your circle of influence. If you get really good at it and you're consistent, what's naturally going to happen is that circle of influence is going to grow. And the more you can connect with that circle of influence, it's going to get bigger and bigger. But it's like anything else. It grows over time, right? Joe Rogan did not get to millions of followers overnight. It seems like overnight, but he's been doing it for many, many, many years now. And that growth grows exponentially over time. And that's the power of podcasting. So with Fanspark, we help you start your podcast, give you your intro, your outros, your banners, your branding, so that you can get your podcast off and rolling and make it look a little more professional. So you have the confidence to get out there and do what you need to do on a regular basis to share your message with your existing database.
Fantastic. So Hernan, if there was one thing that you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. So if I had one thing that I can go back and do, I think it would be to stay focused in one area. So on the one hand, I'm grateful that I bounced around in different sections. On the other hand, if I would have just focused my attention on one, I think I would have had more like a massive success in that one industry. And it would have been a little bit different. So for example, if I would have stuck to just my accounting and just the tax practice on that side, I could have built a major accounting firm and it would have been phenomenal, but I would have been only the accountant and only the tax person. What I ended up doing was I took my accounting skills and I allowed those skills to, I didn't get paid for many services up front. I became partners in many things up front. And so some of them took off really well and some of them didn't. Right. And so for those of you who are out there, if you're doing work and you are deciding to laser focus, I like the word focus as an acronym. So follow one course until successful. That's focus. If you laser focus your attention on one thing, you will become an expert on that one thing a lot faster. Malcolm Gladwell has a book called Outliers, and he talks about 10,000 hours to become an expert in anything. If you laser focus your attention and you become an expert in that one thing, people will pay you a lot of money to solve that one problem. So in business, it's pretty simple. You can solve a simple problem at a low cost millions of times over, or you can solve a big problem at a high cost. Right? So it's your choice on which one you want to approach. But if you can simplify what you would like to do, Amazon, for example, is one of those simple problems, right? The simple problem is convenience. How do I get something to somewhere as fast as possible? They've solved that problem millions of times over. That's why everybody uses it. They make a lot of money, right? Versus another person might be focused on just one thing. They get paid $1 million to solve one specific problem. Maybe it's IT security for corporations, right? And this is the one thing that they do really, really well, but they're highly trained and highly paid for that one thing. And I think it comes down to, who are you? Are you the laser focus, or are you the one who's going to solve small things over and over again?
I love that. And I think that one thing a lot of entrepreneurs face, and myself absolutely included, is shiny object syndrome. I mean, not only with thinking of a bunch of different business ideas, but also how to add on to your existing business. I know that when I first started my marketing firm, I was like, oh, I can add this service and this service and this service and this service, rather than focusing on one or two of the services that I was really good at. I kept trying to add in new things because I thought that that would bring me more success and more money. But when you focus on what actually is really good for you and what is going to continue to propel your business forward, that's where you'll get the success. And I think that sharing your experience of that is so important for people to hear.
Absolutely. And here's the thing is when you focus on those one or two things, you are the best at it. Nobody else can compete with you. The reason why you charge three times as much as the other guy is because you're damn good at it. And that's the plain and simple truth about anything in business. I can always, you know, look at Amazon again. They have a bunch of different products. When you go and buy, you know, a USB hub, there's like 17 different ones. Mm-hmm. Why is one priced at $5 and the other one's priced at $15? you know, there's a difference in the quality of product that you, that they're putting out there. And that's the same thing with your business. If you are very fine tuned, you know how to push that exact button and solve that problem perfectly every single time. You know what you're worth, understand what you're worth. And that has huge value in your practice.
Amen. So going along with that, Hernan, why do you think it's so important for people to start businesses specifically at a young age?
Well, today more than ever, right? You know, in the past, I would say you get this way, you have control over your time, over your day, over your life, over your happiness if you have your own business, because nobody's telling you when to clock in, when to clock out, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. But it's a double-edged sword. Right? There are people who don't function well with time management, who are not easily structured in what they're going to do. And so a W-2 job will work good for them, right? It really depends on who you talk to. I believe that if you can manage yourself, you can achieve whatever success that you want to do. But you can easily fall into that trap of security. That paycheck is a nice, secure paycheck. You don't have to worry about it. You know exactly where you're going every day. You know exactly what you're doing every day. But it's not the happiest thing. That's why people hate Mondays and love Fridays, right? Because they don't actually like what they're doing. They're wasting away 8 hours of their day doing something they don't love, when they can be doing something else that they do love, and maybe they don't make as much money, but they're happy doing it every single day. That's a big difference. And now with COVID happening, with everything that's happened today in the world, people don't even have the opportunity to find a job. So just like I did out of necessity at 20 years old to make sure we paid our mortgage, people are finding themselves in a position where they have to go out and create their income. I have, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids right now that have graduated high school, and they went out and started their own business. Some of them are baking. Some of them are doing their own car washes. They're doing what they have to do to make ends meet, to go out and build their stuff. And these skills that they're developing now are huge assets. Let's say, for example, you start a business at, you know, 18, 19 years old, and you realize that, you know what, business is not for me. It's not the greatest thing in the world. I don't like the time management. I don't like the pressure. The skills that you've learned, those are called experience. You can take those same experiences and go and apply for a job and say, look, this is what I did for all these years. This is the success that I had. I didn't like to do that. I want to focus my attention right here, and I want to work for your company. This is the assets that I bring, the tools, the skills that I bring to the table. Whereas every other applicant who comes to the table has nothing but book experience, no actual life experience. And as an employer, I love life experience over theory.
You're absolutely right. And I think that what you said about now more than ever, we need to be focusing on building businesses is so true. Because one of the things that people don't often realize, and I can say that I had the same mindset when I was first starting, was that I thought that my part-time job, since I worked at a coffee shop before this, I thought that that was more stable than starting my own business. But really, it's actually the opposite end, because unfortunately, there have been so many people who have been laid off or furloughed during this time with what's happening. And then you actually have less control compared to if you own a business, because most of the time, or most likely, you're able to keep going, or at least finding ways to keep going. And so you have more control in that aspect, even though with that job that you may have, it seems more steady, but in the reality, it's often not.
It's like maximum security prison. Right? Yes. When you're in a maximum security prison, you get four walls, a cot, and three meals a day, right? You're taken care of, but you can't go outside. You can't exit your cell, right? It's completely secure, but you give up your freedom. And in business, it's the complete opposite. There is no security in your paycheck. None, absolutely zero. But you have the freedom to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. And that's where you get the creativity. That's where you get the innovation. That's where you get to take advantage of markets. You get to do all kinds of different things because you have that freedom, but you're giving up security for freedom.
100%. Hernan, if there was one last piece of advice you could leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out with their business, what would it be and why?
Start a podcast. Today in today's era, even if you don't know what business you have yet, start a podcast, start connecting with people, connect with business people, connect with people that you, there's things that you love to do already right now. Maybe you ride bikes, maybe you exercise, maybe you bake, maybe you teach little kids, whatever it is, start a podcast around the thing that you love. And you'll see how you can develop something going forward. At least, at the very least, you're going to meet some amazing, great people. You're going to make some great connections. You're going to establish some relationships. Remember those hookups that I talked about earlier? You're going to start to establish them early on. You're going to bring value, and you're going to see that from that type of connection, doors open up all over the place. Yes. So if you have, and you don't need a bunch of stuff, it's okay if I plug some stuff right now?
Yeah.
So if you go to businessbros.biz/freepop, that's a free POP, Power of Podcasting. I'm going to give you a free ebook. You can literally start a podcast using zero money. You already have a phone. You already have a laptop. Show you how to host it and spread it to iTunes and Spotify, all that for free. Add video component for free. You can literally start building your brand and your image, whatever it is that you want to talk about, for free. So that's businessbros.biz/freepop.
Love it. And this has been such an amazing episode with such great advice. And I know that you just shared one link where people can find you, but if there's other places where you would like people to connect with you further, I'd love for you to share them now, and I'll make sure to put them in the show notes.
Awesome. So you can find us on our social media pages, all of them at Business Bros Pod. That's our handle for Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. Again, there's 477 episodes, I think it is, that we've recorded. You find them all on YouTube, and just learn from other people. There's so many great entrepreneurs out there who have done some amazing things, and we just give them a platform to share that their stories, just like Ashley's doing here today. So learn from people and gain that knowledge, and then go take action. Go do something for yourself, because knowledge is only potential power. It means nothing until you take action and implement and understand that, yes, you will fail, but you will also grow progressively over time.
Love it. Hernan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.